good Monday. Thanks for being with us. Brad Sussmat on Sports360AZ.com. Sports360AZ.com. A couple of years ago, I looked around the landscape and said, I am out of this TV thing. I see where everything's going digital, digital, digital. Let's be Arizona-centric. I'll still mix in the stuff I do nationally. That's where we are here at Sports360AZ.com. Arizona-centric, but we've partnered with the Arizona Republic, good people at azcentralsports.com. Appreciate their partnership. We have partnered with White Mountain Radio. Good to be on White Mountain Radio. We got a lot of people want to partner with us. We're just picky about who we want to partner with. And also, you can follow us on Twitter. That is at sports360az.com. Busy show today. So following the draft, fantasy football is big to, well, most anybody who follows the NFL. So we'll get our first look now at the draft from a different point of view. The NFL Network's NFL.com's fantasy editor, he's going into his third year with us. Michael Fabiano joins us in about 20 minutes because guys are already getting a start on their fantasy football teams. Now that free agency's over, the draft is over, who are those players to take? And it's not about just your team, it's about the fantasy thing too. Paula Bova, news and notes. What did she make out of the Michael Sam kiss? What does she make out of Donald Sterling saying Magic Johnson is bad for kids in the Los Angeles area? She's from there as well. The revitalized Diamondbacks. We'll talk with Paula and also the Cardinals draft too. Frank Beamer is going to join us. Frank Beamer is the head football coach of Virginia Tech. And the Cardinals made what I think was an interesting selection at quarterback with Logan Thomas. We're going to go a little bit deeper with Frank Beamer on what exactly the Cardinals are getting here. John Gruden said that there are Cam Newton tendencies about Logan Thomas, which I find kind of interesting. We'll talk about that. And then Matt Williams will join us in hour number two, the former Arizona Diamondback, not just a Diamondback player. Remember, he was an original Diamondback. He was a Diamondback owner, Diamondback front office executive, Diamondback broadcaster, Diamondback base coach, and now he's the manager of the Washington Nationals, and the Nationals are here in the Valley tonight, our first chance to talk to Matt Williams on all things baseball with him. So busy show ahead. I'm not really sure where to start. Where do you want me to go today, E? Do you want me to start with Anderson Cooper against Barbara Walters?
No, not really. I think I'm pretty much worn out on the whole Donald Sterling thing. But it's your show.
It's entertaining, though, when you have Barbara Walters and Anderson Cooper crossing over into the sports world and just the nonsense that's come out of there. You know, the Michael Sam story, obviously groundbreaking. But the thing about it that is stunning to me is the outrage towards ESPN for showing the kissing between Sam and his guy. I mean, I see A.J. McCarron and Catherine Webb probably shared a kiss after they were he was announced where he was heading. Michael Sam, it was raw emotion. It's a different world. I don't care much for people jumping down the throats of those that say, boy, that really bothered me. Everybody's got a right to an opinion. It just seems as though that if you're not in agreement with this, that people are going to come after you a lot harder than other players or other issues in sports. You know, the Johnny Manziel story just is beyond mind-boggling how our country gravitated towards him. I have some numbers, raw numbers on Twitter of Johnny Manziel in about a two-hour span from the other night. And just the draft numbers in general. I mean, the big breaking news of the day is Vince Young got cut.
Wow, that's shocking. Stunning. Believe it or not. What?
He was a Brown
for what, 3 months?
Right, right. Can I come in and talk to you guys for a couple of minutes? You took this Manziel guy. You're done. See ya. I'd love that story.
But the Browns don't want him to mentor Johnny Manziel?
Right.
I can't imagine why.
Right. Hey, Johnny, we're going to have Vince here to teach you everything you need to know. That happened just before we went on the air. I can't help myself when stuff like that. It's just too easy. Let's get you caught up some things on my mind in the world of sports. And it's brought to you by the Honda Resort and Casino. Honda Resort and Casino just outside of Pine Top in the beautiful White Mountains. A couple of weeks, I'm going to be heading on up to the Honda Resort and Casino for Memorial Day weekend. How about you? Make your plans now. Get on out to the high country. Shoot, stay at the Honda Resort and Casino and then go do some fishing over at Big Lake. Hey, what a great idea that is. Take the family up there and go hiking. Just get out of your normal routine. The 100-degree temperatures are coming this week in the valley and across the state. Why not head up to the Honda Resort and Casino just outside of Pine Top in the beautiful, awesome White Mountains. Well, I do think I'm going to start with the Manziel stuff, actually. And I'll get into the Cardinals in a minute. So between 7 p.m. and midnight on Thursday, right in the heart of the NFL draft, Twitter recorded approximately 2.5 million tweets related to Manziel. In the same 5 hours, there were 519,000 tweets posted combined about LeBron James, the Miami Brooklyn, Portland San Antonio playoff games, the NHL playoff games, Boston, Montreal, and Anaheim, Los Angeles. 519,000 versus 2.5 million on one guy.
As we say, the NFL is king.
Wow. So the thing that the behind this is now that that he's gone there and Michael Sam, could you imagine if Michael Sam and Johnny Manziel ended up on the same team? What type of media overload there would have been if that would have taken place? So, you know, here with the Cardinals, I'm going over on Manziel just a little bit because at the end of the day, the Cardinals draft to me was somewhat nondescript, and I'm fine with that. I'm not one of these people. I don't need a name to get me excited. What I need is a team that has a roster from top to bottom, not like 1 through 30 that can play or 1 through 40 that can play. I need a roster that is going to be top to bottom full of players. So when I get the Cardinals really didn't do anything too sexy. Yeah. And last year's draft, if you look at what happened last year, they took a guard in the first round. And if you look at the guys that they hit on, for the most part, you know, if you can get 4 or 5 players each time that you go into the draft, I think you're doing pretty good for yourself. It's pretty evident to me the Cardinals want to load up with wide receivers and try and get more speed on the field. In the NFC West, you better make sure you've got a big physical safety back there that's willing to knock guys' heads off. If you want to take a flyer on a quarterback that, as I said earlier, John Gruden compared to Cam Newton, see some Cam Newton tendencies, I'm fine with that. Fine with that. If you're going to look at this draft top to bottom today, I hate grading drafts. I know it's the fun, sexy thing to do. I can't tell you if the Cardinals got a C or a B or an A. I can tell you that probably around next October. If we get through the first 4 weeks of the season, we don't see anything at all. Remember last year when they took Andre Ellington, and he's the easy one to fall back on. When they took Andre Ellington, there's like, oh, they took this little undersized running back. I don't know what he's going to turn into. Well, he turned into a really good player. So tap the brakes, and if you have to be one of those guys that I want to, Brad, you got to give this a C or a B. No, I'm not giving grades. I'm not. I've never done that. Through 30 years of doing this, giving grades is foolish. Here is Steve Keim on not drafting a sexy class. This was after the draft on Saturday at the Cardinals facility.
You know what I love about it is I look at all those names and I see guys who are big-time competitors who love the game and bring an element of toughness to our locker room, which I don't think you can ever have enough of. And that's the whole thing is I've walked out of this building for many years when we got A's and B's, and those players didn't turn out to be good players. So you have to just trust what you're doing and trust your board. And I trust the people in our room. And again, you have to avoid the noise sometimes and avoid what people are saying. And you can't get caught up in some of the hype. And again, I've always trusted what I see on tape. And I think that that we came away with a pretty good class.
And I'm fine with that. You can't learn. I mean, you can't pay attention to the noise, as he puts it. You cannot get caught up on what I say or what is written in a paper or what is said on television. And there's many sports teams and sports executives that get all wound up about something that is written, something that is said, something that is shown, or if somebody beats them over the head with a shovel when they're 2-14, and then when they're 14-2, they say, yeah, they're pretty good. You know, I've just seen that through the years that the best franchises are the ones. Yeah, they know how to work media, try to do that, but they just stick to their guns and say, you know what? We are confident in what we're doing. We don't care if your mini poll says we should have taken Johnny Manziel or we should have taken A.J. McCarron. Your guy, A.J. McCarron, they could have taken A.J. McCarron. He's a game manager, remember?
We'll see.
It was the Catherine Webb thing to me.
We shall see.
I think that was poor planning on their part. to come out and say, we're going to do a reality show around our wedding.
Oh, I'm sure it was. I mean, it was.
Look, you can play football, but you're not playing football. You're sitting there in meetings with people saying you need to get this scene put in and out. You're not paying that much attention.
But just like you said, I mean, nobody really knows exactly with these mid-round quarterbacks who's going to be the diamond in the rough, so to speak. Some pan out, some don't. Is Jimmy Garoppolo going to ever be a starting quarterback? We don't know.
I'm sure Tom Brady's not thrilled about that one.
No.
But here's the thing. So this year we had two quarterbacks taken in the first round. No, three. I'm sorry. Bridgewater at the end. So three quarterbacks taken in the first round. I would say as we're sitting here today that next year Mariota's a surefire first-round pick and a Heisman Trophy guy. Brett Hundley, in my mind, a surefire first-round pick. Jameis Winston, because of how he's been a dumbass off the field, and I saw where his dad said that his family and the university have let Jameis down. At some point, you got to cut the strings, Dad. Jameis has let Jameis down. If you're good enough to be the Heisman Trophy winner, then you probably should be looking in the mirror and saying, I shouldn't steal crab legs. Thus, I won't have my picture of my body with a crab for my legs being put out there on social media. God, I swear, sometimes parents, I get it. If your kids screw up, your kids screw up. My kids have screwed up. But to start saying, well, the university's let him down. We've let him. No, Jameis has let himself down. So I don't know if he's going to be a first-round pick next year or not. But I would think if he gets his act together and if he goes and does his missionary work somewhere and he does a United Way spot here and he goes and speaks to kids here and he does all the rehab image stuff that's going to happen in the next year, probably going to be a first-round pick. Here's a note before we get to the break. 38, that's the number of guys that declared for the draft early and left school that went undrafted. 38 guys. Now, everybody's got a different situation financially. Everybody believes that they're going to make it in the league. We see in the NFL now several players that go out and make it as free agents. But 38, that's a stunning number to me when you think about guys saying you're ready to come into the NFL, or maybe these kids just couldn't link a noun and a verb. You spot on the C and they couldn't spell cat.
And no option to come back.
Like
in the NBA.
So look, instead of you're going to have training table where there's free food and you're going to have your scholarship, we'll probably give you a tablet that has some of your plays on it or a playbook or something. You have a place to sleep. You have a roof over your head. You get to fly on a plane. You get to go to bowl games. You get exposure on television. You can push your brand out there. No, instead 38 said, I'm ready. Again, I don't know every situation of where they were financially. If they're like, I just got to go. I got a girl pregnant. I don't have the money. That's a huge number to look at if you think about it, the players that were drafted and had the option to stay in college. Up next, on the other side, we switch gears as we do always after the NFL draft. What's this mean for fantasy football, guy? That's you. Fantasy football, that's what rolls out there. That and gambling on the games. So we're going to talk to Michael Fabiano, the editor from the NFL Network and NFL.com, fantasy football editor. That's next. I'm Brad Sussmat.
For unique angles, content, and guests, check out our podcast center available 24/7, 365 at sports360az.com. Giving you fantasy football insight you can't get anywhere else. With NFL Network and NFL.com fantasy expert Michael Fabiano, here's Brad Sussmat.
Time to talk to Michael Fabiano. It's great to have the Hall of Famer back with us. NFL Network, NFL.com, fantasy editor. Now that free agency is over in the NFL, now that the draft is over in the NFL, we know that our rosters are set other than the fact that Vince Young is no longer an option.
If you were going to be drafting Vince Young for your fantasy football team next season, I feel sorry for you.
Good to visit with you again. How are you?
I'm good, man. I'm good. Just wrapped up the draft here, and as you said, the NFL rosters around the National Football League are certainly becoming more clear, so it's a lot easier for those of us in the fantasy industry to start ranking players with a little more accuracy.
Okay, so if you're ranking a top five overall in the entire draft right now, what does it look like?
Well, you know me. I'm always going with running backs. So you're going to have Adrian Peterson at number one. And honestly, these guys at the top are interchangeable, to be quite honest with you. I've got Adrian Peterson 1, Jamaal Charles 2, LeSean McCoy 3, Marshawn Lynch 4, and Matt Forte 5. That's in the standard league. All running backs and no quarterbacks, because that position is so unbelievably, ridiculously deep. I'm just not wasting my time picking a quarterback until the fifth or sixth round. I mean, you've heard this song and dance before from me. So running backs and wide receivers are still going to be the positions you need to target in 2014. When you've got a Johnny Manziel who comes in, he just makes that quarterback position even deeper. And you know, I always talk about quarterbacks who can run with the football. That's why I like Manziel so much. Although it is going to be interesting to see what happens with this whole Josh Gordon mess in Cleveland.
Okay, first quarterback taken off the board today in your draft would be?
Peyton Manning. I don't know how you go against him. And he's not going to throw for over 5,500 yards again. He's not going to have 55 touchdown passes again. It's just not logical for that to happen two seasons in a row, same player. So I could see Drew Brees being the number one quarterback at the end of the season. I could see Aaron Rodgers being the number one quarterback at the end of the season. But after what Peyton Manning did last year, it's really hard to not rank him number one. And he is a lock to be drafted in the first round in just about every single league coming up for 2014. Not my strategy, but it will certainly happen.
The first draft pick from this past weekend that will go off the board for you would be?
Bishop Sankey in Tennessee. Perfect fit. And Sankey was actually the number one running back in the 2014 class on Mike Mayock's board. And I always say, when Mike Mayock talks about college prospects, I listen. So Sankey's got three down back potential at the NFL level. Chris Johnson's in New York now. Sean Green is 29 and coming off a second knee surgery. Dexter McCluster's in the mix there too, but I really do believe that Sankey is going to be the starter for the Titans in week one. And when you look at last year, like Eddie Lacy, guys like Gio Bernard and Zach Stacy, Le'Veon Bell, we all know rookie running backs can make an impact. Mm-hmm. Typically, rookie running backs are the players in their first year that will make the greatest impact. So Sankey's up there as a flex starter right now, and we'll see what happens the rest of the offseason. But he is going to be a very popular pick in fantasy drafts.
NFL Network, NFL.com, fantasy editor Michael Fabiano with Brad Sussmat, Sports 360 AZ, partnering with AZ Central Sports, the Arizona Republic, White Mountain Radio, and on Twitter at Brad Sussmat. Give me a couple names from this draft this past weekend at running back other than Sankey that you like. Kadeem Carey out here going to Chicago interests me a little bit as I'm getting my draft board ready to go. How about you?
Honestly, Sankey's the only running back who is going to be drafted into a prominent position in fantasy leagues, because you look at the other players, Terrence West in Cleveland. Well, he's going to be the handcuff to Ben Tate, so you're not going to be able to start him in fantasy leagues outside of an injury. Trey Mason in St. Louis, he's going to be behind Zach Stacy. You just mentioned Kadeem Carey. He's not getting ahead of Matt Forte on the depth chart, I can tell you that right now. Forte is locked and loaded there, so he's going to be a handcuff. Jeremy Hill, well, maybe he's going to be draftable, but it depends. Can he beat out Ben Jarvis Green-Ellis in training camp? Because Giovanni Bernard, from a fantasy perspective, is the guy to own in the Bengals' backfield. Charles Sims in Tampa Bay, could he move past Bobby Rainey and Mike James to become the number two running back behind Doug Martin? Well, potentially a handcuff there again, but he's not going to overtake Doug Martin for the top spot on the depth chart. Carlos Hyde, a lot of people consider him the most talented running back in the entire 2014 class, but he's gone into a horrible situation for next season. You've got Frank Gore, who's in the last year of his contract. You've got Kendall Hunter and Marcus Lattimore, who was basically redshirted by the Niners last year. So Carlos Hyde, I can tell you right now, is going to be a huge sleeper/breakout candidate in 2015. But this season, unless Gore gets hurt, you're not going to get much production out of him. It's going to be a committee behind Gore. So not a good year for rookie running backs in terms of opportunities, because the only player I see who has a clear-cut path to the number one spot on his team is Sankey when you're talking about the running back spot.
But I'm big on handcuffs. I'm big on late round picks in my own strategy, late round picks. So a guy like Carey, to me, I'm betting that Forte as the season goes along, and I may miss on it, but I'm willing to take my last round pick on a handcuff guy. And that's the one that I'm kind of looking at, you know, so that's my strategy. You may see it differently than that.
Well, I think you look at running backs who have had injury issues in the past. And as much as I like, for example, Ben Tate in Cleveland, especially, again, with the Josh Gordon mess, they may have to run the ball more now than they would throw it if he's going to be suspended for a while. Well, if Ben goes down with an injury, then Terrace West comes in, and he's going to be one of those off-the-waiver-wire sort of sleepers in fantasy football that could help you at some point during this season. So that's sort of what you want to look at. Forte has been pretty durable lately, but is Kadeem Carey going to be worth a late-round pick in fantasy drafts? Absolutely. And a lot of these rookie running backs will be. But you can't draft them with the thought that they're going to make an immediate impact for your fantasy team. They are guys to sort of sit on or to handcuff for insurance purposes.
Let me throw a couple teams at you. We're talking to Michael Fabiano. So are you looking, like I'm looking, at Tampa Bay's wide receiving core this year much differently than last year?
Absolutely. There's a lot of changes there. Of course, Vincent Jackson is still the guy. But now you're looking at Mike Evans, who to me is a lock to start opposite Vincent Jackson. He's sort of like a Vincent Jackson clone, very physical, athletic type of guy, a big guy who's a good run blocker, and that's going to also help him stay on the football field. He has got a lot of long-term appeal to me. You have to remember, rookie wide receivers typically don't put up big numbers. They'll maybe be a 3 in fantasy, maybe a 4. Occasionally you get a Keenan Allen, but for every one Keenan Allen, you have 10 Tavon Austins. That's just the way that it works in the National Football League when it comes to fantasy wide receivers as rookies. Now, Mike Evans could very well go on to become a number one fantasy receiver at some point down the line, but I don't know about this season. I think he's going to be more of a 4. That's where I would draft him. You've also got Lewis Murphy there as the 3. Mike Williams was traded to Buffalo, remember, to Juan Underwood, went to Carolina. So there's a very different look there, and that is in part because of a change at the top. Right now you've got Lovie Smith in there. You've got Jeff Tedford. They're going to want to run the football, and if you look, they've added a few tight ends too, right? They added Brandon Myers during the offseason, and now they've added this kid, Austin Seferian Jenkins, who could potentially be the number one tight end there from a depth chart perspective. So I think the Bucs are going to run the ball a lot. You're going to see a lot of Doug Martin as long as he can stay healthy, and it's going to be interesting to see what kind of impact Evans can make as a rookie. But it's good news for Josh McCown, because before Evans was drafted, he was looking at Lewis Murphy and Eric Page and a whole bunch of guys, Lavelle Hawkins, that haven't made much of an impact at the pro level.
I always take a New Orleans Saints skill player. It's just what I do, and that's part of my draft strategy. Do you like what they did in the draft and here in free agency in this offseason? Do you look at the Saints for players?
Well, anytime Drew Brees is the quarterback, you're going to look to the receivers. So Marcus Colston is obviously going to remain somewhere in the 2 or 3 range. He's getting a little bit problematic in terms of injuries. He didn't have a good season last season, but I think he's still in that mix as a 2 or a 3. Kenny Stills, he's going to be a potential sleeper, again, because Brees is throwing on the football. Brandon Cooks, now the 3rd wide receiver, at least in my opinion, in New Orleans. And he could just burn up that Superdome turf. He is fast, and that track is going to make him even faster. So I think Drew Brees is going to like him a lot in terms of the vertical pass attack. I don't know if he's going to be very consistent, but Cooks is going to be on the radar as a late round number 5 in fantasy, somewhere around somewhere in that area. So the position that intrigues me in New Orleans, because I know what's going to happen with the passing game. You're going to see Jimmy Graham have a huge season. You're going to see Colston, Stills, Cooks, Joe Morgan, these guys all put up some decent numbers, although likely inconsistent. The running back position there is interesting because Darren Sproles is gone. Pierre Thomas is projected to be the starter. Mark Ingram probably 2nd. But watch out for Kerry Robinson there. He showed some flashes last season, and Mark Ingram has had his time, and he hasn't proven anything to me at the pro level. So don't be surprised if Kerry Robinson ends up moving up in New Orleans, maybe not becoming the starter ahead of Pierre Thomas, but seeing enough carries where he's going to be worth a look in the late rounds.
Before I let you go, what advice, strategies do you do between now and drafts? You and I have talked about having those drafts early in August can be a killer because of injuries. You're better off drafting right before the season starts. What strategy advice, now that we know rosters for the most part, would you give folks?
Well, number one, know your rosters. Make sure you know that Kelvin Benjamin's likely the number one wide receiver to get in Carolina, despite the fact that he's a rookie. Make sure that you know potential handcuffs, right? You've got a guy in Atlanta called Devonta Freeman who was drafted and could end up being the number one guy in Atlanta next season. You have to know these names because a lot of times, it's interesting, I was looking back at the last 25, 30 years of drafts, and you look at the first, second, and third round, a lot of busts. Yep. You know, you see a lot of busts. So get to know players that maybe weren't drafted that highly. And Terrell Davis is a perfect example. Tom Brady is a perfect example. Marcus Colston is a perfect example of players who became fantasy relevant despite the fact that they weren't drafted prominently. Another thing that you need to do, honestly, and I say this now because we sort of know what the depth charts are potentially going to look like around the league, do your own rankings. You're free to look at mine, and I hope you do, but make sure you have opinions on players yourself. Maybe I have Julio Jones ranked at 5 and Brandon Marshall at 8, but you like Brandon Marshall better. You know, do your own rankings, too, because at the end of the day, part of the fun of fantasy football is being a GM and being sort of the coach. So make sure that you are keeping tabs on your own rankings at the top 6 skill positions, unless you want to just save kicker and defense to my rankings or someone else, which is completely fine too, because those positions are sort of difficult to predict from one year to the next. But that's a big part of what I would be doing now as a fantasy football owner is, hey,
get
all
after
of a sudden,
it.
Cam,
yeah.
What's that?
Work at it. Get after it. You know,
no
you know
doubt. Like Cam Newton, for example.
Yeah.
Oh, he's got. A rookie wide receiver as his number one, Jericho Cotchery and Jason Avant and Taquan Underwood. He's coming off ankle surgery. Do you drop him down? Is Andrew Luck now better than him? You have to sort of make those decisions, but you're right. You have to work at this thing, and you want to be as prepared as possible when the draft happens. And I mean, I already have people tweeting me saying that they're going to have their draft next month.
Wow.
If that's what you want to do, that's cool, but man, I wouldn't advise people having their fantasy football drafts until like mid-August at the earliest, because you never know when an injury can happen and blow up your whole fantasy team.
Let's go off that. Appreciate your time as always. Be well. Thanks.
All right, pal. You too.
It's Michael Fabiano, NFL Network. Always good to catch up with him. NFL.com fantasy editor. Michael Fabiano, part of what I do, what we do here at Sports360AZ.com. We'll bring back some of that for you online on our site, Sports360AZ.com. We're Arizona-centric. Up next, AZ Central Sports, as we partner with them. Paula Bova, News and Notes, my friend, on Michael Sam and some of the things around the draft that she saw that she liked and didn't like. That's next. I'm Brad Sussmat.
For original, in-depth Arizona sports news you care about, follow us on Twitter at Sports360AZ. Giving you the inside slant on the weekend's biggest stories. It's time for News and Notes with AZ Central Sports columnist Paula Bovin. Here again, Brad Sussmat.
News and Notes, my friend Paula Bovin, AZ Central Sports columnist for a couple of minutes. I saw her Thursday night out at the Cardinals facility along with her colleague Kent Summers making a path beaten into the ground at the Cardinals facility from back and forth, inside in front of the computer writing to out front in front of a camera, a true multimedia star. How are you?
Good. It's the new world of journalism. So this is what we do now, and that's okay.
Were you uncomfortable with Michael Sam kissing his mate?
Oh, God, no. Not even. I didn't even think about it. It is what it is now, you know?
First time, second time, third time, fourth time, the cake in the face, none of it uncomfortable for you?
No, I'm not uncomfortable. You know, we see people kissing their spouses or girlfriends or whatever all the time, so not at all.
I was not uncomfortable either, but I felt as though that the raw emotion of it, maybe it's just because it's been shown over and over and over for everyone to consume. After a while, it's like, can he play football?
Well, of course, of course.
That's where I'm at on this whole thing now, because, you know, I heard people comparing it to Jackie Robinson. And here's the thing with that, Paula. Jackie Robinson walked into a locker room and everybody could see by the color of his skin that he was not the same color as they were. Whether it's Michael Sam, who announced that he was gay, or anybody before him coming into a locker room, you couldn't tell from the outside in. They now know that he is a gay man, and there's been some bounce back on him that the league has stepped in and fined and suspended a player in Miami for putting some opinions out on Twitter.
Right.
I don't know if I agree with the Jackie Robinson comparison on all this. Am I wrong?
No, it's two different things, but I'll say this. I just think, Brad, we're in this kind of transitional phase in our society right now where there's a lot of us, you and me and a younger generation of people who are almost to the point where it's like, okay, it's not a big deal anymore, and that's kind of how we feel because it's not a big deal to us. But there is still that segment of society that is making it an issue. And so I think we have to sort of tolerate the overreaction of and over support and maybe too many kisses and maybe too much media coverage of it because we're still in that transitional phase in our society and that he's sort of the first who's about to get drafted and it gets to be a bigger deal. And now it won't. Other people necessarily won't feel inclined to have to say I am or it won't be as big of a story. But I think we have to just sort of tolerate what maybe seems like over-the-top coverage or over-the-top, you know, defensiveness or anything else because I just think that's where we are right now.
Shouldn't a player be allowed on Twitter to say too much or OMG?
Well, he is allowed in our society to say that. That's what's, you know, our
but
amendments are about. He's allowed
in
society to say it. It's, mm-hmm. He's not going to be put in jail by the government. But his employer has a right to say, I don't like that. And I'm not going to tolerate you coming into my grocery store and yelling as an employee. I'm not going to, you know, work at a cash register if a black person comes into my line. And I'm not going to be a football player who can overreact or react about a someone who's gay saying that. I just think people confuse sometimes what our society allows to happen, government versus private employees. That's my feeling.
No, that's a good way to put it, because I think in the last 48 hours, I've seen all sides of this one come up. My inbox has been full of, I've seen enough of this. I have my religious beliefs. I'm never going to watch the NFL again. I can't believe that they're standing this. Well, if you're going to take that approach, you might as well just close the doors to your house and never get out of your garage.
Right.
You know,
the most tolerant, and even some of the most adamant religious people and very strong Christians who may have issue with gays, the ones who I think embrace what their Bible and what their God says, practices tolerance. They cannot like it. They can say, I'm struggling with this, but he's a human being, and, you know, I'm not going to put negative things on Twitter about it. I mean, you know, you can not like something and not throw out a bunch of pejoratives either, and that's what sort of bugs me about people who have some of these different opinions.
Sure, and there's people that I've been around that still refer to race and use the N-word, and they're white, mm-hmm. and I've actually had to disassociate myself from one of them who was a close friend because it was just so reprehensible, and
right.
he would drop it in front of not just me, but my wife and my kids.
Sure.
And I, when I hear people saying that they're having a hard time explaining to their kids why a man is kissing another man in this day and age, it's a teachable, not just moment. It's going to take time to teach them is
right.
what I'm getting at.
Absolutely.
This discussion you and I are having now mm-hmm. is you and I in this space in our life, 10 years from now, we won't even have this conversation in my opinion.
Yeah, no, I agree. Or there will be very few of them still happening. I think it's, you know, we see how things are evolving, but we're still in that transitional time, no question.
Paula Bova, News and Notes, AZ Central Sports columnist with Brad Susmat for a couple of minutes here. Did you like what the Cardinals did?
I did. You know, I did a lot. And I'm saying this as someone who's not a general manager and didn't evaluate a lot of video or anything else like these guys did. But I liked why they picked Buchanan. And he's one of the few guys I did see play several times. I like that one a lot. And you know, sort of a compliment to Tyrann Mathieu, I think is sort of a cool thing. And then, you know, the fascinating one, and the one is obviously getting a lot of sort of questions, is the whole Logan Thomas thing. And the more I thought about it, if you're going to take a risk and you're doing it, what was it, the fourth round, I think, is that when he was taken?
Yep.
You know, I mean, he's kind of the type of guy you gamble on. It's a fourth-round pick. Not all of their fourth-round picks have stuck in the past. But with the upside they see, you know, why not? And I think we've talked about this before. It always sort of fascinates me. The guys like Bruce Arians and Steve Keim, who have been very successful in their lives, are there because they have this ego and this confidence that got them there for a lot of good reasons. And so they also probably think they can sort of fix what's broken with Logan Thomas. And I don't know if that's possible. A lot of people say with accuracy and ball placement, those aren't necessarily easily fixable things. But you just never know. I thought it was worth a gamble.
We're going to have Frank Beamer on, the head coach of Virginia Tech, after I'm done with you here.
Oh, great.
Yeah, in about 5 minutes, just to talk to him directly about the fumbling and the interceptions and all that stuff. And, you know, Gruden referred to him as Cam Newton tendencies. So
interesting.
You know, I mean, there's some stuff there about him. I felt like when they passed on Manziel that it was absolutely the right decision, not even one to debate on.
Right.
That, look, you have other holes that are much bigger, and maybe next year it's the Hundley, Mariota, Winston draft quarterback class that they like better. Not to say in that order, not to say those guys will even be there. But, you know, you look back on this class, none of these guys that were drafted in the first round, it appears as now, are going to even be starters. So maybe the Arians-Keim group likes next year's quarterbacks better. Just a thought.
No, it could be. And you know, with this guy, I know that they all worked him out. They all spent a lot of time with him. There was clearly some kind of infatuation and something they saw. So, yeah, I'll be very interested to hear what Beamer says, because I think that's going to shed some light on all this.
Really liked your Mother's Day column.
Oh, thanks.
Really liked what Jeff Metcalf did on all the ASU girls,
sure,
basketball players being moms. What are you working on next?
I am actually heading out to the ballpark here in a few hours. Matt Williams is back in town, so I thought that might be an interesting column. So that's where I'm headed.
Well, good. We're having Maddie on here, not to take your thunder, but we're having Maddie on here in about 20 minutes. So
yeah, I'm just going to have to be glued to my radio.
Yeah,
now,
whatever.
Or my
whatever.
Computer, whatever. Yeah.
Whatever device. It's fine. I'll see you soon.
Sounds good, Brad.
There's Paula Bovin, News and Notes, AZ Central sports columnist for a couple of minutes. As mentioned, Frank Beamer on the other side, head football coach at Virginia Tech. Are there things that need to be fixed in Logan Thomas to make him an NFL quarterback? In about 20 minutes, Matt Williams, former Diamondback on a lot of levels and now manager of the Washington Nationals. He'll join us as we roll on a busy Monday on Sports360AZ.com. On AZ Central Sports, good to be partnered with the Arizona Republic, White Mountain Radio, and on Twitter at Brad Sussmat.
Like our Facebook fan page for unique Arizona sports content from the high schools to the pros. Facebook.com/Sports360AZ.
When you're convinced that you have the franchise quarterback, you take him in the first round. If you think a guy could be a franchise quarterback, you take a chance later in the draft. There was one guy in this draft that I was convinced was a franchise quarterback, and don't ask me who it was. The other, yeah, that's him. But this guy, we think, could develop into that type of player. So
he has the skill set to do it.
Yeah, that's when you take a chance in the round that we took him in.
That's Steve Keim along with Bruce Arians Saturday at the Cardinals facility. Brad Sussmat with you, Sports360AZ.com. AZ Central Sports, going to be partnered with the Arizona Republic, White Mountain Radio, and on Twitter at Brad Sussmat. Frank Beamer joins us for a couple of minutes to give us a little bit more background on Logan Thomas, the quarterback that has all Cardinal fans asking, what is the point, or yes, he is the future, or where does he fit in? The head coach of Virginia Tech who coached Logan Thomas for a couple of minutes. Frank, I appreciate you joining us. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Thanks for having me.
What did you make there out of Steve Keim and Bruce Arians, that little exchange coming back, in terms of taking a chance on somebody that could develop with Logan Thomas?
I think, in my opinion of Logan, you know, he's perfect in every way to be your quarterback, to be the leader of your team, to represent you. He's perfect in every way. I think he throws good balls over the middle of the field. I think he needs to probably work a little bit on his technique on falls outside the numbers a little bit. But he's a guy that's going to work. And, you know, I think technique-wise, he just needs to get into, you know, trusting what he's doing. I think there's two or three things here with Logan. He was under a couple different people coaching him for his last couple of years. So, you know, you're trying to change a little bit of a technique and get it right, and it's hard to do that, I think, in the middle of your season. And they didn't have much time to do that. And then I think we weren't as consistent around him as I would like for us to have been, meaning the offensive line, we had some new people. Sometimes it's hard to get into a rhythm if your line's not protecting you the way you'd like to be protected, or you're having to avoid a person to throw a ball. And then I think the wide receiver position wasn't, we had some change over there. And so trust in a receiver to know, hey, the break's going to be right here, and throw the ball, let it go before my break. He had a hard time developing that because of the people around him. So, you know, I think Logan's got a little bit to work on, but, I feel in every way he's going to get this thing done. He'll attack it. He'll work at it. And then after that, you know, I'm telling you got a perfect guy. You know, you're going to fall in love with this guy. He's respectful, thoughtful, character-wise, fantastic. Just in my way, you know, I've said it many times, perfect. A little bit, maybe correct a little bit of technique thrown outside the numbers.
Frank Beamer with us for a couple of minutes, head football coach, Virginia Tech. Logan Thomas comes here to the Arizona Cardinals. When you heard that Logan was selected by the Cardinals, what were your thoughts?
I thought great. Bruce Arians, we went to the same school, and Freddie Kitchens, a real good friend of my son, they worked together. And you got two fantastic people there to work with. And Logan's a fantastic person, so. I think it's a great match, really.
You know, there was some talk, Frank. Fans have been sending me notes about the numbers, 39 interceptions, 23 fumbles. As you mentioned, he went through some different offensive coordinators. Anything to attribute those numbers to?
Well, I think 2 years ago, he had a fantastic sophomore year, and I think he kind of took it on his shoulders. A lot of those guys weren't back, so he kind of took it on his shoulders to – hey, make some plays, and probably did some threw the ball sometimes on plays he just needed to throw it away or take the sack, you know. But again, this is a guy that learns from everything that he's done, and I feel firmly that his future is directly in front of him. I think he's got a great future.
It was interesting. John Gruden, and fans have been sending me this note, John Gruden said that he has Cam Newton tendencies about him. Do you agree with that?
Cam Newton in what regard?
It was Gruden just saying he sees some of Cam Newton in Logan Thomas.
I think I see probably a Ben Roethlisberger, a little bit of him. And probably if you're talking about playmaking ability, Cam. He's a guy that very smart on the football field. Went from one offensive coordinator to another, a lot of the terminology changed. It was much more wordy in the huddle this past year, Logan, had it down. I mean, he's a smart guy on the football field, and a guy that, you feel like you can trust out there. Now, you got a couple situations, the interceptions, so forth. But, I think he's already learned from it. And the future's very bright.
Frank, I appreciate the time and the visit and the insight. Thanks.
Absolutely. You are going to like this guy, I promise you.
Thanks, Coach. Frank Beamer there with us for a couple of minutes. Head coach of Virginia Tech. A little bit more on Logan Thomas coming on board. Appreciate him joining us here on Sports360AZ.com. Brad Sussmath with you. This segment of the show brought to you by Santan Ford. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. I saw yesterday in the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports, a big full-page ad of Santan Ford employees just thanking their moms. It wasn't like a big thing of sale here, sale there, finance numbers here. It's about family. and it's all about you. That's what General Manager Tim Hovick and company out there, they believe in that, and that's why I'm one of those on the roster, along with Carson Palmer, along with Larry Fitzgerald, along with several others that are very comfortable talking to you about Santan Ford. For me, it's driving the 2014 Fusion. The Fusion this weekend for me, Friday night, it was a swim meet for my nine-year-old. After that, I was taking him to yogurt. Saturday, I was running around doing errands. Sunday, I was going to church and running around for Mother's Day. Yeah, I'm on the run. Today, it's coming up to Scottsdale and doing the show, and I've got meetings this afternoon. I do it in the 2014 Ford Fusion because I fit in it. I'm 6'8". I get great gas mileage. It's a comfortable car. With the sync support system, I can get a lot of work done in my busy day and my busy travels. Now, how about you? Can you say that about the vehicle that you're in? Why don't you stop in for yourself or go online to santanford.com. Check it out yourself, Santan Ford. Santan Ford just off the Santan 202 and Val Vista. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. So Arizona State, Will Sutton goes to Chicago. Carl Bradford goes to Green Bay. Marion Grice goes to the Chargers. There's some other players, Eric. I know at U of A, Kadeem Carey goes to the Bears, Marquise Flowers, Cincinnati. The Steelers get Shaq Richardson. Tevin Hood's invited to the Patriots camp. Terrence Miller goes to the Jets. Zach Bauman goes from NAU, goes over to the Cardinals, which is good.
Very good. Good player.
Yeah, I mean, I think this year Chris Coyle went to the Texas?
Correct.
Yeah.
Evan Finkenberg to the Dolphins.
To the Dolphins.
ASU and U of A had quite a few guys either drafted or invited to camps.
So next year, I'm going to start this a little early.
Okay.
Next year, if you're looking at both rosters, do you see a surefire first round pick?
Yes.
I do too.
He wears number 21.
And he plays wide receiver.
Correct.
Yeah, I think that you saw the run on wide receivers. That Jalen Strong is going to be a first-round pick next year. He just needs to stay healthy. I also think that anybody, any of these crazy pop, if you're a crazy Pop Warner dad, meaning you want your team to win 70-6 over seven-year-olds, and you're that guy that's waving towels and yelling at the coach on the other team and seven-year-old, and you know who you are. You're out there. Move your kid now from running back and have them play corner and have them play wide receiver. Have we learned enough now to know that you don't want to be a running back in this day and age? Like DJ Foster, go play some corner now. Help yourself out.
Yeah, or turn into a slot receiver or something.
Yeah, do something, anything. That's what I took away from the draft, too. The states of Florida, Georgia, Texas, and California, those four states – Florida, Georgia, Texas, California produced 48% of all NFL draft picks this weekend.
Yet not one single University of Texas player was taken in the draft. Think about that for a minute.
Doesn't that just tell you that Mac Brown was on scholarship the last few years?
Yes.
Just playing golf, mailing it in, cashing a
check. They had the third best recruiting class by the experts for the seniors that just graduated.
Well, I remember when Jackson Jeffcoat, who signed as a free agent with Texas.
Very good player.
Or it was Seattle, rather. The Sun Devil fans were devastated because, well, he's going to be the top recruit in the nation.
Because his dad, Jim Jeffcoat, went to ASU.
Right. And so he's got to come to ASU. And he goes to Texas, and he didn't do much as he went through his run there at Texas.
Inconsistent career, I think, would be the best way to sum it up in Austin.
But then there's the SEC, and here's my thing on the SEC. Yeah, if you have all these states, this region, and you have all these teams, your numbers inherently are going to go up. If you miss on kids in Florida, that's your fault, because there's a lot of kids in Florida. California, big state.
Sure.
Arizona, can we get to a point where every year we have a few players drafted into the NFL?
Why not?
I think we're getting better at high school and youth sports. This whole notion of it's too hot to play year-round. They just go to the mountains, they go over and do passing leagues on the coast.
Right.
But I would like to see that number come up. That caught my eye from the draft over the weekend. As I mentioned earlier, the 36 players that came out early from college that weren't drafted. What happens to these kids now? They're guys that end up in the Arena League? Is there any regret at all? Were there agents that said, you've got to turn pro because if you don't now, you're going to miss out? Well, yeah, now you've missed out on a whole lot. And a kid like Carl Bradford, who left a year early, how much money did he leave on the table? But did he go because he wanted to help out family? You have to look at both sides of the equation on that. Sports360AZ.com. AZ Central Sports going to be partnered with the Arizona Republic on White Mountain Radio. On Twitter, at Brad Sussmat. Plenty of content up on Sports360AZ.com. We actually had Jared Cohen out at the State Track and Field Championships. Now, there's a lot of great stories there. We have a ton of draft coverage around the Cardinals, ASU, and U of A. Check it out, Sports360AZ.com. Enjoy your Monday. Off we go into hour number two. Brad Sussmat with you, Sports360AZ.com on AZ Central Sports. Going to be partnered with the Arizona Republic, White Mountain Radio, and on Twitter, at Brad Sussmat, C-E-S-M-A-T. We have had a heck of a weekend. A lot of stuff that's been happening. Hope you had a good Mother's Day and took care of business, as you should do with mom. Let's get you caught up some of the things on my mind in the world of sports, brought to you by Gateway Airport. Gateway Airport, your gateway to getting out of the valley and off to nearly 40 different locations. I was talking to a friend yesterday. She flies to Eugene direct out of Gateway Airport. She's a big Duck fan. We all have our hangups. But nonetheless, she flies on Allegiant out of Gateway Airport. Gateway Airport just outside of Mesa off the 60 and the 202. That's Gateway Airport. They've been a proud part of what we do here at Sports 360 AZ for quite some time. That's Gateway Airport. All right, so some of the things on my mind in the world of sports here today. We've been talking quite a bit about the NFL draft and all the stuff going on there. The Sterling story between Anderson Cooper and Barbara Walters, that's been driving me nuts. Michael Sam's story, Johnny Manziel, and all that. And there's another big story, too, that's been on my radar for about the last couple of weeks. I've been talking about, yeah, the Diamondbacks have been struggling, and let's see if they can get this thing turn around and all that. And let's see if by the time they get back from their road trip through Chicago, when they get the Nationals and the Dodgers, if they've started to figure things out a little bit. We were preaching patience with Ken Kendrick. They have been patient. Now they're back. Problem is, I'm a little bit torn because we have Matt Williams in town tonight. And Matt, of course, part owner, player, coach, original Diamondback, broadcaster. And I would consider he and his wife, Erica, a friend. And now he's back here wearing number 9, except he's the manager of the Washington Nationals. He joins me now for a couple of minutes. How are things?
Things are good. How about you?
Things are really good, actually. Thanks for asking. I'm much better now than I was about 3 weeks ago when this baseball team looked like they couldn't win a game to save their lives. How's that for an answer?
Well, they've been playing better lately.
Yeah.
A pretty good road trip they just had.
They did. How is D.C. treating you as a manager?
Oh, it's been great. We've lost some guys. You know, it's been a little bit of a struggle for the first month and a half to keep all our guys on the field. We looked out the other day and we had 4 of our original starters on the field. But other than that, it's a great group of guys. The city's supportive, fan base is supportive, and we're hanging in there, considering all that's gone on. So, overall, pretty good.
How about you as a manager? Have you found your stride?
Yeah, it depends on the day.
It depends on who's on the mound. It depends on what I have for a lineup.
A lot of things.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've settled in a little bit, and it takes a while, but yeah, you get to understand the guys. And what our strengths and weaknesses are and things like that. So overall, it's been really, really gratifying to be a part of it. And I'm excited about our chances.
Have you had to change much? Meaning?
No. Not really.
Yeah.
The game's always the same. You know that. It's because I, have the title of manager doesn't mean I'm any different. Whether you're a player, coach, manager. It's all about doing what you can do to help the guys, be the best they can be. So that's my focus. And like I said, it's been okay so far. We're not full strength by any stretch, but we're going to go battle and see what we can do.
Matt Williams with Brad Sussmat for a couple of minutes. He's wearing number 9 as the manager of the Washington Nationals. They're in town tonight. First of 3 against the Diamondbacks, 19-18. On the season. The city, the manager of the Nationals in D.C., have you found yourself in places when you're not managing that are kind of cool to be at, meaning places, parties, those sorts of things?
Yeah, I went Erica and Madison and I went to a dinner party at George Will's house.
Mm.
And it was a slew of dignitaries, you know, the chairman, ex-chairman of the Fed, political commentators, and I found myself wondering what to say at times. But all they wanted to do was talk baseball. They're huge fans. Most of them are season ticket holders. And, you know, I was interested in talking to Ben Bernanke and George Will and Mike Wallace about politics and government and things like that, but they wanted no part of it. They wanted to talk about Ryan Zimmerman and Steven Strasburg. So it came back to my comfort level at that point. But it's a lot of fun. I mean, there's some very high-profile people that we see every day on the news or commentating on some event in the world. But deep down, they're just baseball fans, and that's what they're interested in.
Now, I've had George Will on several times. Big Oriole guy.
Yeah.
Isn't he an owner or not?
No. Big Cub guy, too. He just came out with a new book about Wrigley Field. And he's just a huge baseball historian. We sat there for an hour and talked about, you know, the old days and the history of the game. So it was really enjoyable.
And a guy like Bernanke, when you're at a dinner party with Ben Bernanke, how do you start up a conversation?
Well, I asked him what he'd been doing. So he's traveling the world. He's speaking. He's doing all these things. But, yeah. You know, all he wanted to do was talk about 3-2 breaking balls and moving a guy from second to third with less than two out and all of those things. So it was fun. They're just normal folks. They hold these high-profile positions, but they're just normal like us, and they enjoy the game. And they're there just about every game. It's a lot of fun.
Is Nationals baseball on the same level as Wizards, below Redskins, above Reds? Where does Capitals, where does it fall in the sports community?
Well, I think that deep down, Washington is a football town, deep down, because they've had the Redskins for so long.
Mm-hmm.
The Senators were there. The team left and have been back for a while now. So it's gradually starting to become more of a baseball town. We get great attendance. We've got some diehard fans that come out every day and support the team. They love these guys. A lot of homegrown talent, which is good. So they've been able to follow these guys throughout their minor league careers and now that they're in the big leagues. And so it's, you know, it takes time. It takes time to create that atmosphere and that following. And but I think this, I think the learners and the organization as a whole have done a nice job of, you know, creating that atmosphere for everybody. And now it just takes a championship, and then everybody's on board and we're rolling. So that's the plan anyway.
You're going to be asked this 100 times, so I'll get it out of the way. Is it going to be odd tonight being in that other dugout?
Yeah, it's going to be odd. I'm at home now. I'm going to jump in my car and take the same route I've always taken. The only difference is I go to the other clubhouse.
Yeah.
So that, I've never done that before. So so that'll be strange. And it'd be odd to sit in the other dugout and look at the field from a different perspective. But you know what? It's home still. And so, you know, I'll be comfortable in that regard. But it'll be just flip-flop tonight. And we got to do what we can to try to beat these guys.
No, and I get that, but I would think that you would find, will you find time, knowing you, to find Derek Hall or Ken Kendrick, or is that stuff all you can do by phone and notes, and tonight's just baseball from the moment you get to the park?
No, I will definitely find time. These guys are great supporters of not only me, but my family.
Mm-hmm.
They have been a part of our lives for a long time, so I will definitely seek them out and make sure I say hello. And, you know, as well as I'm sure I'll see a lot of familiar faces tonight. So that'll be comforting. But, you know, when 6:40 comes around, we need to play well if we're going to try to beat Josh and these boys tonight.
I'll let you go off that. I appreciate your time, and I'll see you down at the park.
Sounds good, man. Good
Stay
to talk
well.
To you.
You too.
All right.
Matt Williams for a couple of minutes. The owner, part owner at one time of the Diamondbacks, player, coach, broadcaster. There was a time, I don't know if you remember this, in 99, Eric, remember when the Diamondbacks had Jay and Matt and Gonzo, and they were all playing well, and I decided to do a ballot stuffing campaign. We'd never done ballot stuffings in Arizona, but it's something I'd done out in California. The deal with ballot stuffings was the teams were so bad around baseball. Like, this is when Montreal had the Expos. That's how far back I'd go on this. Or the Royals. And they would ship boxes of ballots to each one of the teams. But the teams would never use the ballots. So I heard about this. And I did this for Tony Gwynn in San Diego. I said, well, get me the ballots. And we do a ballot punch out thing in San Diego. I did the same thing for Luis and Jay and Matt. And Jay and Gonzo said, you know, it's really cool, blah, 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 blah. And we had got to the point where they made the All-Star game. And I'll never forget, Matt comes out of the clubhouse, and I'm doing my Diamondbacks pregame show in the dugout on the far end, sitting there by myself. And Matt comes out, and he's got his flip-flops on. He's got a bat he's carrying. He looks very stern-faced. And I'm thinking, what did I say? Did I rip him last night? Did I get on his case? And he comes over, and he sits down next to me, and he just stares at the bat. And he says, without looking at me, it was pretty cool what you did. You didn't have to do that, but I appreciate it. Thanks. And God gets up and walks away. There was that moment there where I'm thinking, I'm going to get Louisville Slugger tattooed on my forehead here in a second.
Your life could have ended right
could
there.
Could have ended
the,
just
right
like
there
that.
In the Bank One ballpark at that time.
On the other hand, there was the time that John Frascatori came over and said, what do you mean I can't start? What do you mean? I heard you talking. What, you want to go out there on the hill and do it? What are you? Who are you to say anything about me? The next day, Jerry cut him, sent him to Toronto.
See? Where is? Can we do a Where Are They Now with John Frascatori?
John Frascatori.
Name from the past. Yeah, early Diamondbacks.
That was very funny. But, you know, the baseball team is actually, the Diamondbacks are not dreadful now. They went 6-3 on their road trip. You pointed out they didn't gain any ground.
Not even one half of a game.
Can you be a little bit positive? It's early May.
It's great. But still, that tells you the type of hole that this team dug.
Oh,
they started the road trip 9.5 games out of first place.
Right.
Entering tonight's game, they are 9.5 games back in the West.
No,
not,
I get it.
Not impossible,
I
but
get
still.
It. The best team in the National League West right now is the Giants.
Yep.
The best team. The Giants are the best team. The Giants have the best manager within the division. That's just a fact. That's just the way it is. So I'm looking forward to that tonight at the big ballpark. I think that's going to be a pretty cool three-game set. One other story, though, and there's some basketball stuff. The Clipper game yesterday was great, and this is why I'm married to the person I'm married to. She actually said, let's watch Clippers and Thunder. It's Mother's Day afternoon, and we're watching NBA basketball. And it was a terrific comeback led by Darren Collison. And the Clippers won. The story, though, is we have Donald Sterling talking to Anderson Cooper tonight, which I have very little interest in watching because I think Donald Sterling's lost his mind and he's has dementia. And then we have Shelly Sterling, who sat down with Barbara Walters. And then it's come up that Shelly says, I want to divorce Donald, but my attorney says now's not the right time.
Of course it is.
Of course it's not the right time because there's this team and there'll be all this cash. And this attorney said, are you kidding me? You could walk away with a $1 billion franchise and I'm not going to see much of it. So, of course, please listen to me. The worst thing you can do is get a divorce from Donald right now. So we've had all this buildup about getting rid of the Sterling, getting rid of Donald Sterling. Now we have LeBron James coming out and saying there won't be, if there's a Sterling involved, nobody will play for a Sterling in LA. And we have Magic Johnson in the middle of it. Donald Sterling saying Magic's not a great guy, not a great example to kids. Of course he's not. He's only made it 100 times over. This is all going on in Los Angeles while we have a great basketball series going on. It's amazing.